setup is a little bit different today, and so you'll have to forgive me. I had to change how I have my computer set up for my back, and I didn't take into account the microphone, and maybe I should have changed it back for podcasting, but hold on. Hold on. You just hold it right there. You're going to hear all this tapping because I'm using my fancy keyboard. Creedy. Nitrate was sand. Okay. Maybe I can turn this. Can I turn this? Connect. Hello.
Hi, did I do this right?
Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay.
I'll turn that off, you know. Excuse me while I shake my water a little bit. Is it Adeline or Adelaine? I don't know. I'll probably say it wrong. So you say it for me, so I'll say it right.
It's Adeline, but usually I go by Addie.
Addie. Okay. Adeline. What did I say first? Adeline?
Yeah.
Oh, Susanna? Yeah, probably. Because I'm just that much of a dork. Addie, okay, that works. I can do that. How are you tonight?
It's been a crazy day.
Has it?
My husband is a athletics coach, and he's been out of town all day. And he was supposed to be back 2 hours ago, and he's not.
Oh, dear. Have you heard from him? I mean, is everything okay? Everything's okay.
They just ran really long today with the event that they were at. So he may walk in the middle of this. We'll have to see.
That's okay. I've had that happen. So, you know, that's okay. We're all casual here.
Yeah,
all casual. It's a Saturday, right? I don't even know what day it is. I'm so, so out of it. And you got your COVID shot this week too. How's that?
I did.
You feeling better? Are you feeling?
You know, I'll tell you what. There is another Wattpad author by the name of Lane Fields, and she is actually a nurse, and she has had both rounds of her shots, and gave me a lot of great advice about what to do to kind of prepare so that you don't have the symptoms or so that they're minimized. Her advice was fabulous.
What did she say?
She said to make sure that you take like your vitamin C and your zinc, like you would if you think you're coming down with a cold, for about a week ahead of time. Mm-hmm. And then the day or two beforehand, you want to make sure you're really well rested and you hydrate really well, including like Gatorade. Mm-hmm. So I did all of that. And then for the next couple days afterwards, you just want to be really well rested and keep hydrated too. I did have quite a bit of headache, which is probably pretty normal. I think just about everybody I've talked to has said that they've had that. But Other than that, I didn't really have any symptoms.
Just a headache. Well, that's good to know. So the vitamin, So like use the, what is it? The stuff over the counter, or you could just use the cheap stuff, I guess. Then if it's just vitamin C and zinc, you don't have to get the fancy, packaging and $10 more than it should be, or $20 more than it should be stuff. But,
yeah. Well, and I'll tell you what, I'm cheap. And we have flex spending allows you to get prenatal vitamins for flex spending eligible. So I take prenatal vitamins instead of normal vitamins.
Well, you know, that works. I mean, it's got all this stuff.
And they're vitamins. There's nothing bad in them. I mean,
no,
I talked to my
not.
Doctor about it before I did it.
I thought thought about, you know, the folic acid is so supposed to be so good for the babies and everything. And if you need it so much when you're pregnant, you know, you're probably low on it in general. And there are a bunch of things in there, you know, you get to be low on. Although they tend to, because the iron can be, you know, make you nauseous. But maybe they have a better iron now than when last time I was pregnant. It was a while ago. So tell me, you are a Wattpad author. I love Wattpad authors. I love Wattpad. I know that it's not a perfect platform. There's all this, you know, when I talk, I'll say I'm posting on Wattpad, 20 people will tell me copyright, people stole my stuff. And I believe that. In fact, I know somebody that happened to on Literotica. They took his stories and they slammed them up on Amazon. And he's like, well, if you can do it, I can. So we got those stories pulled. And that was the, that got him right. posting stories. And what I, my general rule is, okay, people are stealing your stories. Okay, I get it. A, this is what you do. You don't mark it complete. You tell your readers it's complete. Don't tell anybody else it's complete.
Right.
Because nobody's going to steal an incomplete story. Nobody, especially if you're a unique writer and you had, you know, there's something different in your story that makes it special and not just run of the mill. It's really hard for somebody else to finish. And don't post your perfect. You know, they're going to have to work for it. In mine, I'm a sloppy writer and you're going to have to go through and fix all my mistakes. And, you know, that's a lot of work. And so don't post your perfect if you're that worried about it.
Those are two things
that have worked for me so far. And then also I don't leave them up because I publish on Kindle. Limited, you can't have another story out there. And so I don't leave them up. Once I'm published, I have to take them down.
Right.
And that's another thing. If you leave it up there for 3 years and kind of, you know, yay, you know, interact a little bit with your audience, but don't do anything with it, somebody might steal it. Those are my ideas on that. But what are your thoughts on when people say, oh, you're going to get it stolen?
I'll tell you what. I've kind of approached this in a couple different ways. First off, my very first writing was fan fiction, at least my first writing that I posted publicly. And there's even a backstory behind that because I started writing a book, my very first book, in 2013. And that book has yet to see the light of day for anybody except maybe 5 or 6 of my closest friends. And that is the one that I want to publish. And I listened to a YouTuber by the name of Alexa Dunn about a year ago. And she had some really good advice because she is published with a publishing house. Yes. And what she said is, if you're going to publish with a publishing house, they will not take your work if you have already published anywhere else. And that includes Wattpad. Mm-hmm. So that book I'm holding on to. But when I started writing publicly, I started with fan fiction. And of course, that's never going to get published, at least not as is. Because you can't publish it with someone else's characters. That's intellectual property rights out the window, you know? But I started actually with a story that was based in the author's world. So there's just no way that's ever going to be anything other than fan fiction. And then from there, I just got all these ideas and I started coming up with it. And I did 8 different fan fiction short stories and 1 novel length fan fiction book that I completed. I can do this. I've been publishing 1 chapter a week for 2 years now. I've got 2 novel length books out there. I want to write my own stories publicly. And that's what I need to get the attention of a publishing agent. So that's what I've been going for right now. Because if you can get, you know, a Wattie Award, not that I'm going to, I really would love to, but, you know, if you can garner the attention of 1 million reads on Wattpad, that's enough to go to a publishing agent and say, look what I can do. All these people have read my stuff and loved it. Yeah. Sign me up.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and they owe it, especially for agents now too. They do say, what does your public platform look like? I can hear that all the time. It's quite a big, especially if you want to go to a traditional publishing house. It's I hear people asking, do I have to have this? Do I have to? And Alexa Dunn, she was even like, yeah, you kind of do. It's just a part of the way it is. They don't support, depending on who you get, they don't necessarily help advertise you. So you having your own fan base is a big deal. And that is so cool. So do you want to publish? Do you want to do YA then? I mean, what genre would you publish in? What's
the goal there? To be honest, the book that I'm holding on to, that is near and dear to my heart, is different but the same from what I am writing now. Because I actually have three books in progress on Wattpad right now. and part of that's my own fault, because you get something in your head and it just won't leave. And I can't hold on to that. I've got to put it out there.
Every writer I know, same problem. It's universal, let me tell you.
Two of the three that I have out there are original works. The other one is fan fiction. And then my one completed alternate universe, all human fan fiction story, I'm planning to eventually transition the way that they did with 50 Shades of Grey, where they just changed the characters' names and appearances and made it their own book. Because I don't know if you knew, 50 Shades of Grey was Twilight fan fiction.
Oh, yes, I knew.
Yeah. And I didn't know that when I first found out about it, but I certainly know that now. And looking back at it, when you read that, you're like, oh, that's her rusty orange truck, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And you know that now, but, you know, what I have is so far removed from the original story, no one would ever figure out unless they knew where it came from. Because what I did with the novel-length fan fiction that I've got out there is, I don't know if you're familiar with Rochelle Mead's Vampire Academy books.
Vampire Academy, I am, yeah. Yes. I haven't read them, but I'm familiar with them, yes.
So in the books, there's sort of a romantic understory that becomes more central to the storyline as you get further and further into her book series, where the 24-year-old instructor, Dimitri, and the 17-year-old senior in high school, Rose, have a romantic relationship that develops as he is her personal instructor and mentor. Mm-hmm. And what my book is, I actually, just because I'm not comfortable with the idea of a 17-year-old in a sexual romantic relationship, moved the age up a year and then did an age reversal on them. So they're all human, but he is 18 and she is 25.
Oh.
And in my fan fiction book,
people asking for that kind of what do they call it? Is it May? It's not May, December. It's a different. Yeah, but I see people asking for books that didn't reverse.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So, anyways, well, go on. I'm sorry, dude.
In my fan fiction book, he is hiding his age from her.
Oh.
And she doesn't know he's in high school. And she thinks he's in college, and she is, because of circumstances beyond her control, a couple of years behind and still in college at 25. And so they pursue this relationship, and he's a very inexperienced 18-year-old guy. You know, he's never been kissed before. And she comes into the picture, and she's this damaged individual. But I didn't really intend to talk this much about my fan fiction stuff.
No, I love it. It's great. Keep going. I'm not clapping yet.
And I'll tell you, one of the things that I've always intended to do with that particular book is the two in-progress original books that I have out there right now are two sisters from a family of three sisters. And it has always been my intention that when I rewrite that as an original novel, that I would make her the third sister. So that they're all kind of in the same family. And I don't know why, but I've just kind of tied my books together that way. The original novel that I'm working on that's actually not going on the internet right now, the main character from that, Marie, actually shows up in one of my two original novels that's in progress right now.
So are your rules, that are your worlds, and you said are they contemporary worlds? What kind of worlds are you?
They are written as an all-human world. So just normal individual. Well, and I shouldn't say that because and I don't want to give too much away just because I don't want to give my ideas to somebody else. But the book that is offline right now is sort of an odd combination of Fast Times at Ridgemont High, Fatal Attraction, and Twilight. and what I mean by that, and I'm not giving much away at all, is that in the story, the main character is 40. Or I think I made her a bit older than that. But it's set in three different time periods, and it kind of flip-flops between the time periods of when she is a junior in high school, when she is meeting this man that she's having the affair with eventually, and 2012, which is when I started writing this, roughly. and I said it just a bit in the past then, because I had some ideas for some things that I wanted to put in the storyline. But what happens is they have this affair in 2001, and then she gets back together with her husband, because they are separated during the affair. And then he comes back in 2012, after he's been turned into this vampire-like creature.
Oh.
And wants to have her turn. and wants to have her turn, but he is a very toxic individual.
Okay.
So, you know, he's very into drugs. He is a musician who has no real way of supporting himself. And then what's more, with becoming this vampire-like individual who has super healing abilities and can fly, he has also become a telepath, and he can push thoughts into other people's heads.
Oh,
he can read minds and he can push thoughts. And that includes Marie, the main character of the story. So he's kind of an interesting character. He's kind of a charming, perverted psycho.
Oh, no, don't say that. Now everybody's going to want him.
Well, and that's the thing, too, is like,
words. Now, oh, he must be sexy.
I kind of wrote him as though he is an anti-hero. And at the end of the story, you know, I've got plans for that where he's going to kind of redeem himself, because he really truly does love her despite how twisted he is. but, you know, I actually changed the appearance of the character a couple years after I started writing it, because last summer I saw 365 Days and I fell in lust with Michele Marone. And I've tied in these little pieces, when I was a freshman in college, I was a vocal performance music major. And one of the things that I had to do as a vocalist was learn an Italian aria, which is song. And so I learned this song called Quella Fiamma, which means quench the flames. And this song is passionate and fiery. And it's all about, you know, my love quench the flames that are within me. And, you know, when you translate the words, it's very moving. And mm-hmm. so I've tied that song into the story and some other little pieces. And, you know, he's got this Italian accent and he's got all the tattoos and he's very sexy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He can influence me whether I want him to or not. He's just too hot. He's, he's a little psychotic, but come on, tattoos. Oh, yeah.
But then when I brought Marie, the main character from that book, into my other story, The Sympathy Screw, which we'll talk about that because that's the excerpt I'm going to read to you. I also brought Michael in. Michael is the character who is the half Italian kind of charming, perverted psycho. and I said it, you know, I didn't put COVID in the story for obvious reasons, but I said it more or less modern day in The Sympathy Screw. So you get a sense for the fact that though they are not on that path, that the two of them are going to be very still connected after their story plays out. I did an interesting thing in that I decided as I was writing the chapter with Marie and Michael in it to make my other Italian character Michael's cousin.
So are you your readers? Are you getting a lot of reader feedback for your, you know, the unique things you're doing in your stories and the way they kind of interact with each other? Are you finding that on Wattpad?
You know, I'll tell you, with The Sympathy Screw, I'm getting a lot of feedback. I'm getting a lot of positive things said about it. But with my other book, Behind the Closed Door, which is a lot sexier, I'm getting a lot of silent readers. and by a lot of silent readers, I have to tell you, you know, each chapter in Wattpad, for those who aren't familiar with Wattpad, a reader can, at the end of the chapter, click a little star, which is kind of like a like button, and it counts as a vote. I have over 12,000 reads on Behind the Closed Door. It has 12 chapters as of yesterday that are public. Wow. And, you know, that's roughly 1,000 reads per chapter. I have 222 votes on that.
Just very quietly in there, just, you know, you don't want anybody to know we're here, but we're reading it.
But I do have to say, Behind the Closed Door is by far the most perverted thing I've ever read.
I noticed when you posted about the podcast, though, your fans were like, oh, yay, we'll be here. We'll be there. You guys, and I can see you in the chat. So if you have any questions, feel free to ask. Feel free to ask questions. But so have you had any problems with trolls on in your sexy stories?
You know, I haven't really noticed that inside the books. In Wattpad, you always get a little bit, especially as a woman, of just the random people that will direct message you without really knowing you. And I have to say, you know, I've had some really nice people.
I never get any. I'm just like, what's wrong with you? Hey, readers, come on. No.
And part of that, too, I think, is, you know, whether or not you have a picture of your face.
That's what I need to do.
My very first picture that was my profile picture on Wattpad was roses that I got from my son for Mother's Day.
Aww.
And that was my profile picture everywhere that I was writing for years. And about 3 months ago now, I changed it from that to my Snapchat Bitmoji. And mm-hmm. for those who aren't familiar with that, in Snapchat, you have this concept of a Bitmoji, which is a bit like the Facebook avatar, mm-hmm. Where you can actually take your smartphone camera, take a selfie of yourself, submit it to the app, and it spits out an image that's kind of cartoony, but it looks like you. And that's what my profile picture is most everywhere right now. I wasn't comfortable with using my real face because I don't want my coworkers to be reading my stuff. I have a day job and I have to keep it.
I don't want anybody who knows me to read my stuff, but I use my face all the time. And I'm going to do what In My Hands Audio does. He's like, well, if you're looking at it. If you're going to out me or talk to me, but how did you happen to find that? It's not posted. Right. In posted in safe for work areas. So
probably a bigger problem with that is that, especially with COVID and just the separation between working and home life going away. I work in technology. So anything I do on my work computer is tracked. and they can see that I've gone to this page, but there's a difference between seeing that I've gone to this page and seeing that I'm the writer of this page.
Okay.
And I don't know that it would really be a problem. I do work for a university, so there's always that Title IX thing that comes up, mm-hmm. and that can get a little touchy sometimes. But I'm not directly interfacing with students in this way, mm-hmm. at least not to my knowledge.
Yeah.
I can't swear to it, but...
Oh, it's probably to keep a pen name. Best to keep a pen name. And, why not? I've gotten really comfortable with mine. I don't know if I'd ever answer to my real name anymore. I'm like, what? What did you say? Who is that? I don't know. Call me ISO. So the story that the one that you're going to read tonight, the sexy, is that the sexiest one you were saying? The smuttiest thing you've ever written? Okay, so that's okay. Read the super smutty. I just wanted to know what made it. I mean, on a scale of fade to black to graphic descriptions of everything.
Well, I will tell you what, when I look at my stats on Wattpad, because they can tell you a heck of a lot about when people stop reading, if they're going to stop reading. I've got in my story, Behind the Closed Door, I've got anal sex, which that was my first time writing anal sex, by the way. And to be perfectly frank, and this is probably not something you will ever hear somebody else admit on your podcast that I know of, I have never had anal sex.
So. Oh, me too. I've never had it. Write about it all the time. Never had it. It sounds so much better when I write it, though.
Well, and, I have friends who have raved about it, but my husband has a very, very, very definite phobia of poo. And so that will never, ever happen. At least not. Not with him.
Oh, poor you. No, I don't know. I don't I don't know. I don't know what I'm missing. I mean, I don't want to kink. It's not going to kink anymore. It's so mainstream. And I'm, so I can't even kink shame it because it's just like mainstream. But yeah, no, I've never done that either.
I have told more than one person now, you know, if he kicks the bucket, my ass is getting christened.
Oh, I love it. But does he know this?
Probably not. He might if he just walked in, though.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. That's too hilarious. Too funny.
But the other reason why I chose not to do that, in addition to the anal, or the other scene that seems to turn people off, is I don't know how to say this without using a very crude term, but there's
use the terms. I marked we're safe. I just don't, you know. I try
there's titty them. Fucking in it. So.
Oh, there you go.
That's after the anal.
I don't know if I've done that yet.
I have to say that is the only instance I have read anywhere in any romantic erotica of that happening. And I have to feel like part of that has to do with the fact that a lot of women don't have, you know, the cup size to be capable of that either. But,
yes.
but I've got both of those in that story. But the other reason why I am not going to be reading that is because, I read to my son. And when I read books, you know, I try to do the voices. I listen to a lot of audiobooks, and the good audiobook readers always do kind of a little bit of a voice there. And I cannot do an accent at all. And
no Italian accents or any
Well, that's the thing. I've got the Italian accent in multiple of my books.
I know an English guy who reads. Zane is really good at reading. I don't know. We need to get I get a friend who's got this great Southern accent. If I could just get him. Oh, and I kind of collect them. But you know, it might be fun to do a back and forth script reading. Wouldn't that be fun to do scene?
Well, I mean, that's the other thing as I was going to get at is behind the closed door right now, the only scenes that I have completely written are with a British man. and I cannot do a British accent.
Yeah. And better, you know? Yeah. Or a good
behind
British
the closed
accent.
Door Mine actually like evolved it. From another writer on Wattpad. I know so many other Wattpad writers because I've been on there for over a year now, and I've really connected with a lot of people on that platform. But there's another writer by the name of Ryan Writes One, and I'm 100% sure that you will never get any name other than Ryan out of him. But he has written a couple of novel-length books, and he also has a book that Wattpad has taken down a couple of times because it is a erotic one-shot book. And he has done a very, very special thing in that he has written it so that each chapter is a reader request. And he features that reader in the story. Behind the closed door evolved from my reader request with him. I wrote the reverse perspective on that story. and then I got his permission.
A link to his account so I can follow him. You know, those kind of stories might work on some of the other sites where, you know, people pay to have the stories done. He might be able to be making some money with the stories. I know some people who do that. They make a little bit of, you know, they get reader requests for stories or on different sites.
You might think so. And I don't know if he's ever really considered that. But maybe I think he's got his hands full right now. He'll kind of go missing for 2-3 weeks at a time. And I think during January, he was actually gone for like a month straight. But
why did Wattpad take it down? What was it?
Because it violated their content policy of pornography. Their content policy on pornography is very gray.
Just
the policy says is more or less, if it doesn't have substantive plot, it's considered pornography. So I don't know why or why not that was considered to not have substantive plot. But, you know, if you're writing a book where every chapter is sex and it starts and ends with that, I can see why they would say that. But he's reposted the book, and he's starting it back up again. He's got, I think, 8 chapters published at this point right now.
It's always to write for somebody else. What is the content policy? Interesting. That was CD Pulley. She's in the audience. Hi! She's asking questions. What was I saying? I know somebody else who would write on demand for other people. And it's a little bit like when I get on and write poetry or do this back and forth thing with poetry. That's probably a little bit faster, but trying to get just key into the thing that they ask you for and get it right. Hit it on the nose. You know, you don't want to, if you're writing like that, you don't want to miss it because they've asked you for this thing. And so it can be a challenge. It's a good challenge. I think it's a healthy challenge to be, you know, given something, a request, and then create a whole story around it. And then if they're one shots, they're probably pretty short. What do you think about 2,000 words? How many words do you think were his stories? The one shot,
you know, it's hard to say. My version, the reverse perspective of my particular chapter, mm-hmm. was actually quite a bit longer than any other single chapter I have written.
I don't know.
And when I took it and made it into Behind the Closed Door, I actually broke it into 4 different chapters. because it was close to 8,000 words for my side. I don't think his was that long. I think his was closer to 5,000 or 6,000.
Yeah. That's pretty good. That's not, but I know people who put an erotic story in there like 2,000. I'm like, what? I can't.
But I have to say that I got a little carried away with writing that. There's actually a 1,000 word blowjob in there.
Oh, that's nothing. I've got much longer blowjobs in my book.
Oh, Lordy.
FCD. No, I totally. My second book has, it's bad. Yeah. In every, anyways. Oh, yeah. 1,000 words. That's really. I got one with Prince Edward, a Prince Albert. And, you know, that takes a little bit more time because that could be dangerous.
Yeah.
I had somebody else read that chapter.
I imagine that would be a choking hazard.
You had to be really careful because he knew, you know, he's like, you know, I'm not taking you to the dentist afterwards. So you need to be careful, but we're doing this now. So it was, it was a thing. I need to finish writing that story. Oh my gosh. Oh, I'm blushing. Okay. I'm getting better though. I should not be able to talk about this stuff at all. It's so much easier for me to go in my head and write it. But do you find that? I mean, we were talking before. You're like, oh, I could do some of those sexy questions that Brandon. I don't know. I was in a weird mood that month. I was asking some questions that I should not have ever asked a lot of people. I talked to Quincy too. I now know more about Quincy than I ever needed to know.
You know, I always kind of try to operate on the policy of being as much of an open book as I can safely be.
I love because that. That's cool. Yeah.
I feel like you need to be authentically you and you need to feel comfortable in your own skin.
Oh, now, I'm not comfortable asking those questions at all. No.
Granted, if it's someone else's secret, I'm not going to share it with the world, you know. I mean, other than the fact that my husband has a poop phobia.
Which really, I mean, come on, that's really not that, in, you know, I think for a lot of people that would be like, what? You know, and there's all this stuff that you do to clean that out, which is pretty gross too. So, you know, it's a process if you really want to do that. I had research. Okay. Anyways, your husband's never going to listen to this. I guess.
Hopefully not.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Do you have your selection?
I do.
Okay. So go ahead and describe. I know because you were kind of saving that. Tell us what you're going to read from, and then let's get that. We've already been on almost 45 minutes.
Let me get a little drink of water here before I get started, just because I'm trying to kind of, I've had a little frog in my throat for the last day or so, and I just want to make sure that I don't crack up during the middle of this here.
Oh, no.
Okay. So this is from The Sympathy Screw. And The Sympathy Screw is the first original book that I started writing on Wattpad. And there's a lot you don't know about what's happening in the storyline until after you get into a Witties. But you find out a few things in the first couple chapters. And this is from chapter 5. This is almost the entirety of chapter 5. Towards the end of this segment, you'll find out what the story's about, but nuts and bolts of it are there's Violet and Andrew, and they're a happily married couple. They've been married for 2 years at this point and known each other for 4 years. And in this particular scene, they just had a bit of an argument the day before because he asked her to make a list of people she would choose to have no strings sex with immediately after he died.
Oh.
And there's context there. But you get into chapter 2 and it starts to talk about how they're making this list and what the list entails and what the rules of the situation are that it would make this work. So that's about, that's about where the story is. And I've gotten a lot of positive feedback. It's really hard to explain story until you start to read it.
I totally completely understand. I completely understand. You can go ahead and dive in.
Okay. All right. I squeezed my eyes tightly shut, not wanting to wake. I felt strong hands sliding my hair from my shoulder, followed by warm, soft lips on my neck. I always had a certain spot about 2 inches below my ear that drove me crazy, and those lips were hitting it perfectly. The lips parted, and a moist tongue darted out and licked, sending sparks through my whole body. A moment later, I felt caresses from one of those strong hands on my bare and very hard nipple.
"Violet,"
Andrew rasped. I groaned. "5 more minutes, please."
"Violet, you came in here to lay down after your workout, and you've been napping all afternoon. It's 6 o'clock in the evening. I thought you'd at least want to eat dinner."
"I don't want to cook," I whined.
"So don't cook, then. If you cook tomorrow, I'll cook tonight. But first, you need to wake up. And then..."
I didn't want to get up yet. I considered batting him away with my hand, but he was kissing his way down from my neck to that nipple, and it felt so good. I could feel wetness pooling in my satin panties, the only item I'd bothered to put on after I got back from my workout before crawling into bed exhausted. Sorry. As Andrew's lips found my hardened peak and began sucking, I moaned and ran my fingers through his hair, clutching him to me.
"Vi, don't you want to eat?"
He put my hand on his hard bulge in his shorts as he asked. I began rubbing him through the thin fabric of his workout shorts. "I could probably put something in my mouth," I murmured, still half asleep but completely aroused. I felt Andrew's hands slide into both sides of the waistbands of my panties.
"Then let's take this off, shall we?"
I raised my hips up so that he could slide my panties off. As soon as they were off, a big warm finger slid into my folds, teasing and stroking against my wetness.
"You're already ready for me, aren't you?"
came his words. Meanwhile, his finger was circling my already aching clit. I took a deep cleansing breath as the heat spread throughout my body. I ran my finger inside his waistband just deep enough to slide the tip against the slit at the head of his cock.
"Violet," he groaned. "If you don't stop teasing me, I'm not going to keep going."
I opened my eyes. Andrew was on the bed in only his shorts. No shirt or socks. "Fine," I grumbled. "Take off your shorts and lay back against the pillow, but leave space above your head." Andrew knew what was coming. He was quick to comply, laying back and then using one hand to hold his rigid shaft upright.
"Hop on now, babe,"
he intoned. I straddled Andrew's shoulders, facing his waiting cock, and lowered my mouth all the way down onto his manhood in one slow movement, taking the whole length of him, base to tip, in, my nose pressed against his testicles. As I pushed back enough so that I could take a breath, Andrew began licking at my waiting core, circling and flicking my nub with his tongue. The feel of Andrew's warm, smooth tongue made a shiver go up my spine. I moaned around his member, and I immediately felt the beginnings of his salty essence deposit themselves on his hard tip, mouth watering. I began to bob over his hardness as he worked my center with his tongue. Andrew added a finger, thrusting in and out, allowing his other hand to squeeze my breast. With every thrust, he earned another moan, and with every one of my moans came my own thrust and his own moan. After just a few minutes, I felt myself already about to plummet off the edge.
"You're close, aren't you, Vi?"
Andrew asked, against my flesh as his finger continued to work me. Boy, was I. Without stopping my sucking and bobbing, I told him, "Mm-hmm."
"Come for me, baby,"
Andrew commanded, pressing brutally firm wet circles against my clit with his thumb, and the feel of his hot breath hitting my drenched slit. I splintered into a million tiny pieces as Andrew continued to work his hand over me, lapping up my juices, crying out around his dick,
Fuck, Andrew bellowed. He was close too. But I knew him too well. A second later, while I was still riding the high of my climax, Andrew was pushing my shoulders up away from him to stop me from pleasuring him further.
Stop, V, he ordered. Violet, up.
I knew what was going to come next, and I did exactly as he asked. Rolling to Andrew's side, already feeling my anticipation and arousal bloom again, even while still feeling satiated for moments before.
Head on the pillow, ass in the air, baby.
I flipped before he even finished asking. New wetness was already pooling in my honeypot for him.
Yes, Violet. Fuck, yes,
Andrew said as he watched me position myself right where he wanted me. Andrew sat up and positioned himself on his knees behind me, gripping my hip with one hand and my breast with the other. He took a moment to line up his cock with my slick hole and then inserted just the tip.
How are you still so tight?
He asked me. I think it's just you, I mumbled into the pillow, using my inner muscles to give him a little squeeze. I was never sure if he was just giving me lip service, but I knew that he always felt gigantic to me. He groaned.
God, Vi, when you do that, it's like your pussy's giving me head, baby. It's so incredible.
Andrew pumped just the tip in and out a few times, letting me get the feel for his girth without actually pressing deep. His fingers squeezed and pulled at my nipple with one hand as he clutched at my hip with the other. Then he thrust himself fully inside.
Massive.
I hissed at the feel of his size, and he gave me a moment to adjust. When he felt my walls begin to relax, Andrew pumped his length deep inside me, thrusting so hard that if his hand hadn't been there to sturdy my hip, he would have pushed my head up against the headboard. At that point, I wouldn't have even minded if Andrew had pushed me right into the headboard. I'd just enjoy the brutally delicious pounding he was giving my sheath wrapped around him. Each thrust was harder than the one before, relentless and brutal. His grip on my hip was so tight that I had no doubt there would be a red mark there, but I couldn't care less. I was moaning and screaming with each thrust, grateful that we had thick walls and the neighbors weren't close by. Back when I'd lived in the apartment complex, these kinds of sounds would have been downright embarrassing.
Violet, Andrew gasped,
punctuating each syllable with another thrust.
You're so perfect for me. How can you ever think these other women could compete? You're the only woman I'll ever love.
I hesitated. I don't know.
I'm yours. Only yours.
His grip on my hip tightened even more as he increased his pummeling thrusts. It was going to bruise. I didn't care. He pushed my hips back against his thrusts, meeting him push for push.
Ugh, Vi, I love you,
he yelled as his thrusts hit their completion, and I felt him empty himself inside me, setting off a second orgasm within me. I could only whimper out, and I love you, then collapse into the bed after he released my hip. A few moments later, I was on my side on my pillow, and Andrew was cuddled up behind me, his arm around my waist. Quietly into my pillow, I confessed, Andrew, this list thing. I've been thinking about it. It's hard for me. Even my side of it. I just can't imagine being this woman who just goes out and has a random hookup without feelings just for the point of a hookup. And I don't want you to be that kind of guy.
Violet, he said, I know you feel like this whole list thing isn't right. I know it seems like it isn't right. One day, if we don't go together, one of us will be broken, completely incapable of functioning,
even just continuing on. When that happens, if it's me that goes, I want you to live, Vi. I want you to flourish. Violet, you deserve happiness. You deserve satisfaction. I know you won't find love again right away, especially not like that. But I want you to get what you need. And I do want you to find love again someday if I die. I don't care if you have a timeline. You can screw as often as you like for as long as you need after I'm gone. As long as all you're doing is screwing. I don't even care if you only pick one person. I'd like you to say you're okay with the same thing for me. But if you don't, that's okay. And I'm still okay with you doing it. If it comes to that, Vi. I know you're not going to forget me. I know you won't stop loving me. But I want you to be able to move on.
How do you know? Why do you think I could never forget you? How do you know that I could never stop loving you?
Because I know you, and I know that I could never stop loving you. Even after you die, I'm yours, Vi. And even after I die, you're mine.
And that's the scene.
Well, no, you it does kind of at the end it explain what you were saying about that. That makes sense. And yes, it was very hot. So I'm glad you didn't just read the hot part, but that you read the after part too.
Yeah. Well, and it was hard finding just the right scene. But people listening don't know that I kind of agonized over this and I ask all sorts of questions.
What do they want to hear? Well, most people read smut. It's romantic smut, interesting
right,
smut.
Right.
But yeah,
right.
Most of us choose to read a little bit of smut. I'm sorry. You don't have to. I would never say. I've had actually people read other stuff, but yeah. Yeah, it is hard to decide. But it was a good scene, and I love the way your voice changed. Seriously, I cannot read men like that. I do not read them that well.
It's fun because when I read to my son, my son is 10 now, but I've been, reading books to him for years. I read him Harry Potter when he was 5. Mm-hmm. And once again, I still don't do the accents, but, when you're reading to a kid, you really have to do the voices so they know who the heck is talking.
Yeah.
And, when you're reading a book like Harry Potter too, there's like 5 characters in the room all talking at the same time. And you have to make them different. It's fun trying to find that unique voice for each person.
That's kind of amazing because I'd forget. I'd read a scene and then the next night I'd get the voices mixed up and, I'd get in so much trouble with the kids, I'm sure. that voice, Mom, no, that's wrong voice. I'm like, which did I do? Mom!
Oh, he's definitely done that to me too.
Oh, it would so not work with
him. Well, and usually it's like, if I take a week and I'm not able to read to him or something, at the end of that week, I'll forget. Or if there's like a character who reappears at the end of the book who wasn't there during the middle, it's been like a month since I've read that character, I'll do a completely different voice. He's like, no, that's not the right voice.
I don't know who this person is.
Well, and that's why the main character is always my voice, It's like, which is a little strange when it's Harry Potter, but.
Oh, yeah. No, that works. It works. It's good for memory purposes. That was a great reading. That's fantastic. I am at some point in time going to, maybe after I finish the book I'm working on, I think it would be neat to put some of the reads together with other reads and just have a podcast. It's authors. VAs, voice artists, reading content. I think that would be so cool. Rather than me talking all the time, it'd be neat. I'm looking forward to doing that. I'll add that in. That'll be hot. We'll put it with Brandon's.
Well, and I'll tell you, I've got like 3 or 4 other scenes that I was like, this would be a good scene. And there was one that I was really tempted to do from my original book. There were actually two that my original book, you know, the first one that's completely mm-hmm. unpublished. One of them is a deleted scene. And I was like, you know, if I ever do publish it, and there's this deleted scene hanging out there on the internet somewhere, people are going to go, why can't I find that scene in the book? and the answer to that is because I never want my father to come across that scene ever.
Your father? Why is that?
Because I don't want my father reading sex scenes I've written.
Oh, good Lord, no. Oh, my gosh.
And my father would, because that's just the kind of person that my father is.
My family's always been, you get people who like, you can't do that. You know, they're not very encouraged for creative things. And my family, even though they're very working class, has always been incredibly encouraging. So when I started writing, I'm like, I did it. I published a book. They're like, well, can we read it? And I'm like, no. Can I know your name? No. Never. Will you ever be able to? No, no, never. And oh, they get so, she gets so mad. I can't believe you would do that to your father. He loves you so much. Why can't he read your book? Oh my gosh. Are you kidding me? No. Oh no. I'll blame it all on here. You know, Dad, that one spy book that had the sex in it, this is your fault. He was like an anti-hero, and you did. You let me read that book when I was 12. So,
no. Oh, no.
No, I don't want my parents, my kids. Oh, Lord. My kids know. They found some... yeah, I messed up and they found my author name, but they haven't read it. They have no desire to read it. I'm like, they haven't Googled me. I'm like, oh, thank you so much. Please don't ever.
Well, and you know, it's funny because there's that fine line because, you know, my husband, he knows I write, you know, mm-hmm. and I have asked him, I have pleaded with him. I have begged him to read my stuff. Oh. and the line he has given me, although he did let me handholdingly create him a Wattpad account. and he is following one person and he has one follower and that would both be me. you know, he hasn't read any of my stuff. And he told me, he said, I don't read. And then when I pushed him further on it, he said, I'll read it when they make it into a movie.
Oh, so it has nothing to do with you. It's just in general, he doesn't enjoy reading. And yeah.
Well, and you know, he reads, but it's not fiction. Except for comic books. He reads comic books.
What kind of comic books does he read?
He has a whole collection in the plastic of Marvel X-Men comic books. And they are, I'm sure some of them are worth some serious money at this point, but you know, they are very protected and they have been since he bought them, you know, 25, 30 years ago.
That's cool. I was just thinking, those are always 25, 30 years ago. Yeah. I'm sure they're worth money. I'm sure they were. They're beloved. There's so much about the different worlds. I don't know. I try to talk about, I don't know. I'm not.
Well, and he's a very different kind of creature anyway, because, you know, he's the jock. My husband is 6'4". Oh. And he weighs about 260 pounds. And most of that's muscle.
That's right. That's what he does now, too. He's still in the sports. That's about me. You're not teasing when you say he's a jock. No, he's a jock.
He is a coach right now. You know, for personal identity, security issues, I'm not going to say what sport, but he actually went to the Olympic team trials in 2004.
Wow.
So, you know, he's very good at what he does. But then on the other hand, his college degree was in biochemistry.
Oh.
And he has been known to read physics textbooks for fun.
Yeah.
So he's just a very different creature.
My kids don't like sports, but physics, they're right up there with you. I can't even. I don't math, so we're just not even going to talk about that.
And I math with the best of them, but physics is a different thing.
But my
college major was computer science, and my minor was math. So
that sounds like one of my son. He's gonna. Well, I don't want to get into that. I'm just proud of them right now. They're good. You know, you got to brag on them when they're brag worthy, because you know, it's life. I love my kids, but life, you know, who knows what will be next year. They'll still be amazing, but maybe not quite as brag-worthy. Thank you so much for coming on and reading. I have to have you again, and maybe we could read some of those other scenes.
Sure.
I love to have authors read, and I think that's so fun. I think that as an author, a lot of authors are shy and they're not comfortable with their reading, but I've read a couple articles where really, you know, especially if you want to be traditionally published, if you're going to do any kind of promotion in a bookstore, you need to be comfortable with reading your book, or somebody will say, you'll get an interview. Can you read a favorite passage? So it's important to be comfortable reading your own stuff. I'm not. So there you go. But
and I tell you, you know, it's been a while since I've read this big a chunk to anyone except my son, but in another life, when I was in college, I actually was a volunteer disc jockey at a nonprofit radio station when I was in college.
That
was a music playing radio station. I would just read the little bits in between and say, "Hey, this is Addie with you on your Wednesday evening. I hope you're having a great night out there. This is WXYZ and you're listening on your Wednesday night." You know, and you always have to do all the FCC stuff when you're on the radio. Oh, so you've got to do really the call letters too, and say where it's located.
Yeah, exactly. The really fast and perfect. I can't. Yeah. If I can't mess it up, I'm going to mess it up. And have to do 400 takes. I'd never get a job like that. That's cool. What a neat experience getting to do that. You should start a podcast then. Everybody has a podcast. It's so easy to start. Let me tell you.
I got enough going on in my life right now.
Yeah.
I can barely keep up with 3 books and trying to do other stuff.
I know. I really... Yeah, I got a deadline too. So yeah, speaking of, I got a deadline I'm working on. I got to get some words in today. Thank you so much for coming on. I know it's late over there, East and Eastern Standard Time. So I really appreciate you, and thank you for reading. And yeah, I'm going to turn the music on and say goodbye. Okay.
You're welcome. Goodbye.
I appreciate you. And I appreciate everyone who joined, who came into the chat and who shared the show and listened to the stories. And I know that it's a romance story with a little sex. And, you know, how can I identify with that? What does that have to do with me? Every unique story, whether it's fictional or non-fictional, is important. It has a perspective. It has something new. It has something interesting. The author grows. You grow. There is value in words, and we can't get caught up in short little text messages, you know, Twitter size. There's value in a complete work, and always value, always value. And I always want to promote that and share that. So what are you going to write? When are you going to finish it? When are you going to come on the show and share it? Don't give up on those hopes and dreams you have for writing, for being traditional published, indie published, self-published, no matter what it is. Don't give up. It's important. It matters, and you matter. Have a great evening. Thank you, everybody. Bye.
Thank you.